Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. Now, we have approached the mid-season point. We are here at the summer break. So this is going to be, I assume this is going to be our last episode for a few weeks.
Yeah, we might do one in between if there's any other news.
Yeah, if there's some big news, we'll come back. But yeah, make sure you're following us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That is where you're going to hear all the latest F1 news and news regarding the podcast. But yeah, we've obviously got quite a bit to dive into. It was quite a weird racing weekend. Very unpredictable in terms of everything, racing-wise and weather-wise. But yeah, make sure you give us a 5-star rating if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other sort of listening platform. It really does help us out. So get involved. And we are going to crack on right now.
And it's just going to go to me because we haven't got the sound in.
Yeah, I'm still
you're still getting used to that, aren't you? So yeah, welcome along, everyone. Yeah, like you say, it was quite a hectic weekend. Obviously, we've got news about Alpine, Otmar leaving. We've got so much which happened over this weekend period. We will delve in. But before we get into that quickly, you potentially, and I say potentially because you have no idea, you're in a cast, but you've broken your arm.
Wrist. Not my arm.
Well, it's on your arm, isn't it?
The cast is, yeah. So I'm currently in a sling with a cast.
So you know last week, guys, when I said to you, you know, Luke can't play football, this is evidence of this.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, right? So I broke my wrist playing that game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Carried on. Like, I finished the match with a broken wrist. So, you know, Glenn came off with shin splints. Pathetic. I carried on with a broken wrist. Like...
But hang on. At this moment in time, you don't know if it's actually broken.
No, so basically, I went for an x-ray, obviously, and she was like, oh yeah, it's a... Shit, what was the bone that I said that it was?
Scaphoid.
Scaphoid, yeah. Which is apparently a very, like, it's quite a difficult, awkward bone, isn't it? So she was like, oh, I can see, like, this here on your scaphoid, which, like... It doesn't look normal to me, so like that could be a break. But I need to send you for more x-rays, so she sent me back for more in a different position, which was horrible, by the way, because for whatever reason, and I've had this with every single x-ray I've had to have when I've had a break, they put you in the most painful positions.
Yeah.
It's like they have to make... It's like it probably wasn't broken until you've just bent it that way. So, yeah, she's like, this woman's like... pushing my hand in the opposite direction, and she's like, oh, just keep it there. I was like, I can't. And yeah, so then I went back to look at them the second time, and she was like, from this angle, like, it doesn't look like there's a break, but then there's this weird little like line along here, and I don't know what that is. So basically, because it's a scaphoid, they didn't want to take any risks, so they cast me up, and I got to go back to fracture clinic next week, where I may or may not get it off. I'm sure, to be fair, if it is a broken scaphoid, they'll put me in a proper cast for probably 4 to 6 weeks,
I imagine. Is it a back slap? Is it only on one bit and it's soft on top, or is it...
Yeah, so hard on top, soft on bottom, but it covers around here where it hurts. I'll tell you one thing. No one tells you how to deal with an itch under a cast. I'm telling you, guys, you might think you've struggled in life.
Yeah.
You have absolutely not until you've had to deal with an itch under your cast. It is torture. I'm telling you, torture. Because it's not even, like, I can't sit there and, like, I have to just sit there, know that it's going on, and just pretend that it's not happening. And my brain does not switch off from it.
No. So what have you had, like, a spoon down there?
I've used that wire quite a few times, you see, just hanging down.
Oh, yeah.
That works a treat. But like, I got in the
prime bottle. Any good?
Yeah, some of the flavours are quite nice. That blue one's quite nice. I tried the cans of prime the other day.
I've only tried the watermelon one. That's the only one I've had.
What colour is that?
The red, white, blue can.
Can?
Yeah. It's the energy one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I tried the blue one. I didn't really like it. It was too fizzy.
Yeah. That's the only one I've had. Sorry, going off topic here.
I like that stuff. The, like, normal prime bottles.
Yeah.
Tastes good. But, yeah, basically, it's all good now. because my wrist can't move, that's when it really hurts. Yeah. Like, if it moves in any direction, pain.
So, football career over?
No, I'll be back. I'll be back when it's off.
Do you know, so he, I messaged you on, what day was it, Sunday? And I said, oh, how did it go? And you were like, yeah, he loved me. He loved me. He wants me back.
I did. I got a message off him in the evening, like, saying, you know, nice one, mate. That was really, like, good today.
He probably does it to all the new ones.
Mate.
Won't make a team, but really well done today. For effort.
I'm not going to say I came on and absolutely lit the game up and changed the whole team. That's not true, but I feel like I fit in very well.
Yeah.
And I put in a good shift.
Good. Well done. And hopefully that will...
Yeah, once I've... So I've got... Obviously, I can't gym now either.
Oh, you're going to lose all your muscles.
So I'm going to...
Is a perfect opportunity for me to get, like, buff.
That's just not going to happen, though.
It won't happen. But anyway, shall we get into talk about some F1 news?
Yeah.
A lot happened this weekend. It was a sprint weekend. But the news that came out on Friday, Alpine, they're in disarray at this moment in time. It's a very strange one. So for you guys who don't know, Otmar has basically been put on garden leave. He has been let go. He won't be the team principal anymore for Alpine.
I don't really understand any of this.
No. What the weirdest thing for me is that Otmar's put a lot of changes in place which will come into effect in the 24 season, 25 season, new personnel coming in, making the team stronger, looking like they're on the right track. Out of the blue, and I mean, don't get me wrong, they've came into this weekend with two DNFs for both drivers in the last two previous races before Spa.
The last two previous races?
Before Spa.
There was only one, wasn't it?
No, Silverstone, they didn't finish. Both of those cars didn't finish. And
did they not?
Hungary didn't finish, no. I'm pretty sure, I double checked that, but I'm pretty sure neither of those finished.
No, I thought it was Australia where they double DNF'd.
Let me double check. So Hungary, Great Britain.
Didn't they have a shocker at Bahrain as well?
They've had shockers. Ocon and Gasly DNF'd, yeah.
At Silverstone?
In Silverstone. I thought I was right, yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
So, you know, heading into Spa, I don't think anyone could see. I mean, you look at Hungary, it wasn't really anyone's fault. They got caught in a collision. So they ended up, there's nothing you can do out of that, really.
Yeah, which was also neither of their fault, like,
yeah.
The collision.
However, I find it a bit of a weird one, because he's been there 18 months. He's obviously had the whole Oscar Piastri saga. There is bits which have been calamity, but I thought he got a good driver line up with Gasly coming in, and I actually thought they were actually starting to build, but obviously that wasn't a decision that Alpine wanted to make, and they got rid of him.
I mean, firstly, it's a weird one because, like, I feel like the team are in the right direction. I do. It's quite difficult because I think maybe from last season it looks like they've kind of taken a step back. But I think it's just they haven't taken as much of a step forward as other teams. And with McLaren coming through, I mean, that bode really badly for them. But secondly, why would you not just announce it like today?
Yeah. And I think that was the weird thing, wasn't it? You know, you're going into a race weekend, you're going into a summer break after that. Do it then. You got 3 or 4 weeks there. Just crack on then.
Yeah, because now the drivers are going to constantly be badgered about, oh, what's going on at the team? Mm. Like, they're not going to be asked questions about the race. They might lose focus. Obviously, I know it's all happened now, but this is just, we're going back to as if we're at Friday. It's going to cause so much talk around Alpine across the whole weekend that it's probably just not necessary over a race weekend.
No.
It didn't make sense to me. That was weird. I personally think when stuff like this happens, I kind of like to see a team sort of capitulate a little bit. When like, you know, things happen, I think, oh, you know, you deserve a bit of bad luck now.
Yeah. It's just a weird one. Why are you looking perplexed?
I don't know who's in my house. sorry about that, guys. Someone just... Well, my mum walked into my house and I just wasn't expecting anyone, so I had to go and inspect what was going on.
Your face then was like, someone is in my house.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting anyone to come in.
Is that what normally happens? Your mum just rocks up?
No, to be honest, but I think because my wrist, like people are coming in and out to help with different things.
Have you got your dad to do the garden yet?
No, that's what I was just telling my mum. I'm going to get him around to mow the lawn. He doesn't know it yet. Because, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, if there's anything I can do, just let me know.
Oh, funny enough, yeah.
Actually, yeah, so when he says it, I'm going to be like, there is actually. Come and cut my grass. But yeah, Otmar Szafnár, that whole Alpine debacle, really strange to me. They could have just waited until the summer break. And it gives like 3-4 weeks of everything to just die down. Like the drivers don't get pressed about it. The team don't get pressed about it. I don't know where they go from here.
The worrying thing for me is they're not learning from their muck-ups. You know, I think your people's perception of a team is so important, your identity. And all people look at Alpine at the moment are, they're a joke of a team in a sense of they go for a driver who actually doesn't want to drive for them like they had last year. You're then happening this year where you can't even wait until the summer break to get rid of your team principal. It just seems like a team that is in disarray at the moment.
Yeah, and they've lost a lot of stuff. They lost more than just Otmar over the weekend. I just think it's...
But they're experienced people they're getting rid of. And yeah. This is what my worry is who do they plan on bringing in? Because... But
have you also seen that apparently Otmar has another job lined up for 24?
Yes, but he's on gardening leave for 12 months. So he can't start another job for 12 months.
So does that mean they're still paying him for 12 months?
Apparently they're still paying him, yeah.
What a fucking dream.
I would love that.
Yeah, but God, I might put myself on garden leave. That is, that's the life.
Well, that's what they mentioned the other day on the TV, that he can't do it, he can't work for the next 12 months. Which means that actually if he's got a job lined up for 24, it's not going to be until this time next year.
Yeah. It's a real strange one. I don't know. Let us know your thoughts on it. I'm just not sure where Alpine go from here. I hope nothing for the best for them, really. But
I like Ocon and I like Gasly. And I think you've got two talented drivers there. And you've got a really good foundations for a really solid team.
Well, they're a championship-winning team. Let's not forget.
Yeah. But they just seem to... I don't understand it. But yeah, do let us know. Obviously, this weekend we had the sprint race. And I have to say, this is the first sprint race weekend I've actually enjoyed.
Yeah, it was pretty... I think this is the thing, right? They work when they're at the right tracks.
I agree with you. I'm really interested to see how Qatar... Because we got a sprint race at Qatar this year.
I think it'll bang.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just touch on it. So obviously on Friday we had qualifying. Max Verstappen ended up taking a 5-place grid penalty because of his engine.
New gearbox.
So surprise, surprise, he got P1 anyway, but that dropped him down to P6.
That was for the race, wasn't it?
This is for the race. Yeah, qualifying on the Friday. Sorry. So the qualifying on the Friday dictated where they would start on the Sunday. Yeah. Leclerc ended up on pole. Perez second, had quite a solid weekend, to be fair. Perez, much better weekend, and I think he needed that heading into this week, into the summer break.
Yeah.
Hamilton P4, Sainz P5, Piastri P6, and Norris P7. Interestingly, Piastri, I said to you the other day, I think, give it time, Piastri, maybe not this year, we'll do it. Piastri will be better than Norris.
Yeah, I just don't know on that call. I don't know, because I think they're both... Lando has proven that he's got the potential.
Got the potential.
And I think Oscar is going to prove that he lives up to the hype. I'm not sure who's going to be better than who.
The first rookie since 1999... No. That has led a Formula One race.
Sorry. What?
The first rookie... I believe since 1999, it might be 2000, early 2000s, that has led a race. Obviously, he led the sprint race.
What, so Lewis Hamilton didn't win in 2007?
Since 2007. Since 2007. Since 2007 is the last rookie. Facts, that's what you get there.
Yeah, I would, honestly, I'd still fact check the Lewis Hamilton thing. I feel like there could be another driver.
I don't think they were confident. I'm not so confident now saying it. They were very confident saying it. Obviously, on Saturday, we had the sprint shootout. Rain. What?
It was a very rainy weekend.
But can I ask a question, right? I completely agree with safety. I completely get that. I know we've had some horrible accidents over the last few years there. But why do we have to wait until the track is pretty much bone dry to get any racing? What is the point of intermediates and what is the point of wet tyres?
I mean, I'll tell you for one, the extremes are pointless. They honestly save the planet and stop fucking making them.
Yeah.
Because they don't get used.
And if they do, they're for formation laps.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous that we have them and they're never allowed to use them. At the end of the day, I know it's dangerous, but the sport is inherently dangerous. Wet or dry, if you're driving at 200 miles an hour, you're in danger.
And can I they showed clips of, do you remember Michael Schumacher going into the back of David Coulthard?
Yeah.
And literally just going around on three wheels. They had no halos. They had, their safety was even more at risk.
Yeah.
And it was just pissing down with rain. I get the safety aspect, I do. But the fact it's not even raining, I understand spray and I understand visibility in that.
But this has always been the same.
We're just waiting until, we may as well just wait until it's bone dry and just get them on slicks and just go from there.
You might as well just race in the Middle East all year round because we know it's going to be dry. Yeah. Like, and well, we know they love the races there.
It is their summer there.
But I just think, look, no one wants drivers to be put into like obvious danger.
No.
But drivers acquire the risk. When you're dreaming of a career in F1, no one is thinking like, that's going to be safe.
Yeah.
That's just absolutely, and honestly, part of the thrill would probably be the danger, like the fear. We have to be able to race in wet conditions.
And the wet conditions benefit certain teams. You saw this weekend, it benefited McLaren.
Yeah.
If we're waiting for dry, we're not going to have that flexibility within teams actually having that beneficial.
I genuinely do think it's a little bit. I personally, it's easy for me to say because I don't put my life at risk and sit in the car. I think the FIA are taking it too far, personally. Or just get rid of the extremes and then just say, you know, make it blatantly clear, we don't race in this weather. No. Fine. At least as fans, we know you don't do that.
Expect.
We might not agree with it and think, you know, that's part of the sport. We actually like that and you're getting rid of it. But it's not our call. I think the worst part is that we're sitting there looking at it, thinking like, yeah, it is raining, but it's not like, it wasn't, at the point when the race could have started, it wasn't like a monsoon. It was raining. And they have extreme wet tyres to go out on. Use them.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting one. I get the safety aspect, I do, and I think we do a good job, or they do a good job in actually managing that safety aspect. But, I mean, that whole point on the sprint race, they went behind on the formation lap for four laps, five laps, and then all of a sudden it had been sunny for ages. It's like, what
are we
doing?
Yeah, then it actually was like, it was like they were trying to create a dry line.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like,
but you're in inters. The whole point of that, you start off,
yeah,
you're on intermediates for a reason because you can deal with the. And I understand the spray aspect. I know people go, yeah, but it's a spray that's affecting visibility. I get that. But that spray aspect has been there for years.
That's always been the
that's
same.
That's nothing new. Okay. It is. But like you say, if it's too dangerous and we haven't spray and visibility, just tell us as fans, right, from now on, we're not going to be racing until there's a dry line. They can go on intermediates around for that, absolutely fine. But if there's spray, we're not going to race.
Yeah.
Just tell us.
Simple
as
that.
And then we'll know. You know, then I won't sit there for 2 hours or an hour waiting for the race to start. Sit down at 2 o'clock, you're like, oh, it's going to start. And it's like,
oh, delayed 10 minutes. Oh, we're going to delay it 30 minutes. Yeah. Okay, now we're going to start behind a safety car and we're going to do five laps, which come out of the racing laps, where we're just going to create a dry line so, you know, everything's nice and easy and safe. Right. Fine then, that's a nice waste of our afternoon, isn't
yeah.
it?
Anyway, let us know what your thoughts are. The sprint shootout, this was on Saturday. Again, Verstappen P1. Piastri, solid in P2. Ferraris look good this weekend. Sainz and Leclerc in P3 and 4. Hamilton, I was expecting a bit better, but P7. And that was simply because he got outdone by George heading into turn one.
Yeah, well, George...
locked
went,
up.
Yeah, George went deep and then decided to hold Lewis up coming down
Straight
out of Arouche.
Lewis said it would have been a P1, P2 lap.
I think it would have been.
Yeah.
I think he had shown that in those conditions he was at that pace.
Yeah, no, I agree. The sprint race, I actually thought it was very good after once it got started. Obviously, Verstappen P1, shock. Piastri, solid race. Great pit stops. I liked that whole thing of they had to come in off the wets.
It made it really exciting. Yeah,
I did enjoy that. And it really benefited some drivers because some drivers stayed out extra lap on the wets because they didn't want to get stuck in traffic, which is obviously what Verstappen did. Benefited Piastri because then he pitted straight away onto Inters. Lovely pit stop. And that bet was very exciting. But solid by Piastri. I think he's really showing why McLaren really wanted him.
He messed up that restart.
He did. But that would just come in time. That's just experience. But really, really impressed. Obviously, this is what I was trying to work. The sprint grid. Oh, sorry. Sprint. Ignore me. Gasly as well. Solid in P3. Had a really good race. Again, the pits benefited him massively.
Yeah. Lewis obviously got a 5-second penalty.
I think this was harsh.
This was harsh. I'm not going to be like blindly deluded here. If someone had to get a penalty for that incident, like if that was the rule, someone gets the blame. It's Lewis.
Yeah.
Because like you could see he did understeer a little bit into that corner. But come on, you have to be subjective in the applications of these penalties, taking into consideration the track conditions, everything that's going on. Perez did have a little bit of space on the outside. Lewis was very much up alongside him. And it was a wet track.
Yeah.
You know, to give a 5-second penalty for that, it seemed a bit ludicrous to me. You know, Max was allowed to actually commit attempted murder on Lewis in Saudi Arabia into turn one, like 3 times. And he got nothing. And he ran Lewis so far off the track in Brazil that he almost ended up in downtown Sao Paulo. So I just don't understand, like, the consistency. You know, that is not a penalty, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's a complete racing incident. What is Lewis just not supposed to go for the overtake? No drivers, sir.
Safe, you can't overtake.
Like, that's the thing.
Not allowed to overtake.
So that was a real disappointment. But generally, the sprint race was good. I liked it. And I think it set us up quite nicely for Sunday.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the race on Sunday, it was... We were counting down, weren't we? How long do we think it would take until Max gets from P6 to P1? It took him 17 laps in the
end.
It took
him a bit longer than I expected.
It did.
He was stuck behind Lewis for a little bit.
And I think he was just conserving his time. He knew what he could do.
But that Mercedes had good straight line speed this weekend.
It did. It's looking more promising.
Bouncing was back. Porpoising.
Yeah.
Have you read the stuff up on that?
No.
So, obviously, they brought upgrades this weekend. We saw the upgraded side pods. They've revised some of the floor edging. I think new engine covers as well, which ties into the side pods. And we had that ridiculously like flat wing.
Yeah.
I think what they said is because we had no time to run in the practice session. Well, obviously we only had one practice session and it was...
But that was hindered, wasn't it, by the...
By the rain.
Rain, yeah.
That like we just couldn't get the setup on it. We think that it will be fine.
Yeah.
Once we run a proper
setup. They definitely look better. obviously, the start was interesting because this is where Piastri showed class on the Saturday and a bit of a lack of experience in...
But I found Carlos Sainz's words harsh here.
He was definitely harsh. I agree with you on that one.
Because it wasn't Piastri that locked up into that corner.
No.
It was him.
But I think what he was trying to say is there was never a gap in there.
But I disagree. Yeah. I personally think there was a gap. And I think if Carlos Sainz hadn't have locked up and then needed to avoid Lewis Hamilton, he wouldn't have needed to go so narrow into that corner.
Yeah.
And therefore, he wouldn't have pushed Piastri into the wall and he wouldn't have got that side pod damage. I think also it was like the butterfly effect from Perez being so aggressive to Lewis on the start as well, obviously sweeping right and then sweeping left.
Yeah, I didn't understand that because he was actually... I felt like Perez caused a bit of that drama because, as you say, he was going
because
over.
Because then Lewis had to move.
Yeah.
And then Sainz locked up.
It was all a bit chaotic, wasn't it? But I felt like that came from just Perez trying to be too defensive and too aggressive,
I think Perez is what started that. He obviously had a bit of a chip in his shoulder about Lewis from the sprint race. And then, did you hear what Lewis said on Sunday?
No.
He was asked about like the Red Bulls and Max and everything. He said, oh, like, essentially, like, all I know is if I was in Sergio's car, Max wouldn't be having the nice time that he's having right now.
Did he say that? That was close.
Yeah, pretty much along those lines. I'll find the quote.
Well, it's facts. It's true.
Yeah, it is true.
Perez is embarrassing the Red Bull name.
Perez is a subpar driver, and that's why they're keeping him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't challenge Max. And the car's good enough for...
Well done, Max. Great job today. Christian, give it a break.
Yeah, just give it a rest, mate. And it's true. The car is good enough for more or less anyone to get P2.
Yep. Anyone on that grid, excluding people like Sargeant, I would say, and Joe, I would say would get...
What's Joe done?
Well, I don't know if he... okay, sure, we'll add him
I feel like most of those drivers would get P2.
Yeah.
Similarly to... Like, I think Perez is a good driver. He doesn't stand out to me. Just not disrespecting him in any way, shape, or form. He's had a great career. I think he's deserved his seat in F1 this whole time.
He's that type of driver. He's like a Bottas. He's like a Barrichello. He gets the points.
He's someone that does the job.
Does the job, and then that's it.
But he's not a championship level driver.
No.
Never has been, never will be.
Nope.
Simple as that.
And I think that showed, you know, for him this weekend, finishing the race 22 seconds behind his teammate in the same car.
And he got overtaken on lap 17.
Yeah. I would say...
I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, I genuinely would not be able to sleep at night if that had happened to me.
That is embarrassing. Leclerc, Ferrari had a solid weekend. Obviously, Sainz then ended up retiring. Piastri did retire from that incident as well into turn one. But Leclerc, I thought on the whole, was solid. The Ferrari looked quite good. They kept the Mercedes at bay.
Yeah.
Mercedes couldn't... They kind of struggled from that point of view.
The Ferrari, you could see, was better in the corners,
yeah,
which then made it a bit too difficult for Lewis to get close enough when it then came to the straight.
Because you found sector two was where they really got the speed. Hamilton ended up he pitted for the fastest lap, so he ended up finishing P4, which I thought was very good. And I know deep down that probably did piss off Max.
100%.
I think anyone else he wouldn't have minded, but because it was Lewis.
Lewis.
Alonso finished P5, solid weekend for him. Russell P6. Norris, this was interesting with the McLarens in the sense of they really struggled.
It was good.
But it was interesting. They showed that in the wet, they were very strong. And that's where, you know...
I think they had a wet setup. They had quite a high downforce setup going, which is weird for a track like Spa, which is something like 73% flat out.
But I think they were waiting for the wet. That's what they were hoping for. And obviously, you had a tiny bit of rain, but not enough for people to go on to.
Yeah.
And obviously, people stuck with softs because that's the most grip out of all the soft compounds. But it wasn't enough for the Inters, which I think McLaren were hoping for.
If it went to Inters, I think you would have seen Lando climb a bit higher up. But it was a good recovery drive.
P7 is good for him, yeah.
The first part of that race, it was looking dreadful. It's looking like the McLaren that we saw at the start of the season.
In Bahrain, just going backwards, isn't he? Yeah. So Ocon, P8, again, good amount of points for him. A tough weekend for him. Stroll P9, and finally Tsunoda. I don't understand this, right? And I put this in the group chat the other day. Why does this AlphaTauri and Tsunoda have a really good first part of the race, really solid? And he was overtaken, wasn't he? He was having great battles, him and Albon taking over. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of the race, he's like struggling. It doesn't make sense to me. Because I thought Tsunoda was going to be on for like a P6, P7.
Is it his driving style? Does he push the tyres too hard?
I don't know. But
Do
you notice it?
Yeah, no, 100%.
It's a strange one.
Is the tyre deck just poor on the AlphaTauri? Like, that's the thing. We just don't know.
But you look at Albon. I thought he was on for like a P6, P7. That straight line speed was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was insane.
And then he ends up finishing P14.
Yeah, it was a weird one.
I thought he was dead cert for points. I really did.
Oh, at one point, Sargeant was in the points.
Yeah, but I didn't have much hope for that.
Oh, I did.
He ended up finishing 17th.
Unsurprisingly.
Danny Rick. The old Danny Rick is back.
Yeah. What was he? He was like P18 or something.
He was P16.
Yeah, there we go.
He didn't really...
He was unlucky in the sprint, though. It was quali, wasn't it? In quali, he was unlucky. He had.
Do you mean the quali for
the race?
Yeah, he had a lap time deleted.
Yeah.
He's not. That's. I mean, he was.
Yeah, that's part of the game, isn't it? You know, you got to stay on track.
Yeah. So yeah, it was interesting. I thought it was a good race. Max Verstappen is now on 314 points, which is just mad. Sergio Perez is on 189 points. This is just ridiculous, isn't it? Lewis climbs 1 point behind Fernando Alonso.
Lewis will finish third, if not second.
I think
season.
If the second half, if Mercedes really turn it around, that Mercedes will beat Sergio Perez in a Red Bull.
100%.
And
Lewis in a half competitive Mercedes will beat Checo in that Red Bull.
Yeah. Don't you think it's crazy to think, right? We're at the halfway point and we only have four drivers who are in triple figures.
Is that not normal?
I think you usually... I mean, you've got Leclerc in P5 on 99 points. Don't get me wrong, it's only 1 point
behind. I guess because normally you've had a few other winners.
You've had a few other winners, yeah. So by this point, you would have had Leclerc, you know, maybe have a race win, 25 points here and there. But it's so bizarre looking back. George Russell's gone up to sixth. He's on the same points with Charles Leclerc. It's close. It's close from fifth down, really.
And this is the thing, like I was saying last week, I can't stand that argument of the Mercedes is a tractor. It is compared to the W11 or the W12 and compared to the RB19. But it's the second best car on the grid. They're still the second best team on that grid.
No, I agree.
And I think second half of the season, they are going to... I feel like they're going to come clear a little bit.
I feel more confident now. I feel we're on the right track.
Yeah.
I think if we can go into the second half of the season and we have a Mercedes win...
That will set up really nicely for next season.
If we can have a Lewis Hamilton win, I'll be delighted. We've had a pole position this year. If we have a win, it'll give me hope going into next year. Red Bull are currently on 503 points. 503 points.
I'm pretty sure they can win it as early as...
Was it
Monza?
Monza, yeah.
And then Max can win it in Singapore the week after.
Mercedes P2, 247 points. But, you know, McLaren really made towards the end of this first part of the season, they've really, you know, made an indent in their points with 103 points. So they've done a phenomenal job there.
Yeah, with Aston Martin falling off, you know, McLaren could move up there.
Yeah. I mean, they to be fair, though, they are 93 points behind Aston Martin.
Yeah, but they do also have Lance Stroll.
Very true. Williams are in P7. They've had a good start to the year. Haas are in P8. Alfa Romeo and AlphaTauri is lost. So, you know, looking ahead, we will obviously do a podcast at some point looking ahead to the next race. But, you know, when we come back, we've got the Netherlands. We've got Italy. We've got Singapore, Japan, Qatar, United States, Mexico, Brazil, Las Vegas, and Abu Dhabi.
It's going to be a quality end to the season.
The ones I'm really excited for are Las Vegas, buzzing for that. Love Brazil. Qatar, I'm looking forward to. I love Japan. Singapore's good.
Yeah, Singapore is good.
And obviously we've got Monza. Imola.
No, Monza.
I always get those two confused. I don't know why. I really struggle. Not looking forward to the Netherlands.
I'm also not really looking forward to Monza. I feel like the Red Bull is going to absolutely fly around there.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. What I have been hearing is that they're actually expecting the Mercedes to be really strong at Zandvoort.
Do they?
Yeah. They're they seem to think that it really suits the car.
Nothing would please me more.
Oh, Lewis beating Max on home turf.
It would be beautiful.
Yes.
It would be, absolutely
that beautiful. Is best case scenario, honestly. That's like my wet dream.
Yeah. I think if we, that would be, that'd just be lovely.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, over the radio, you hear Lewis Hamilton go, simply lovely, like Max does all the time.
Yeah, why is he trying to coin that new catchphrase?
Yeah. Oh, that's simply lovely, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, like, who does he think he is?
But anyway, I can't take anything away from Max Verstappen. He's been phenomenal all year.
Yeah, he has. And Perez, to be fair, Perez does his best to highlight how good Max is as well.
Yeah.
So they do complement each other quite well.
They do. Just finishing off, Max Verstappen and his engineer. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can tell he's like taking no shit no more. I know they seem to be getting on. Max laughs about it. He says they're good, and I'm sure they are. But it really comes across like his engineer just wants to take no shit from him. Just
I think what he's trying to do is keep Max in check. Like you're still driving for our team.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're not here for you. You're here for us.
Yeah.
So no, it's good to see. I mean, you know,
I like it. And I like when you get a good relationship between a driver and an engineer, because obviously the main ones that always spring to mind are Bono and Lewis. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the type of relationships you want to see. So now you've got this with Max and his. It's actually quite...
Leclerc and Xavi?
Yeah, but they just end up shouting at each other, why are you telling me now? Like, I tell you what I do miss, though, before we end this. I do miss the team radios with the FIA.
Yeah.
I do miss that. I didn't actually realise how good that was. And I think that made it more interesting this season.
Yeah, but obviously, they do like to make the sport continuously shitter.
You know, Toto Wolff could send his email.
Yeah.
Toto, I don't check my emails during a race. Yeah, but I've just sent you an email. Did you get it? That was... there's so many classic lines at you.
Yeah. That's still the best season. That is the best season.
100%. 100%. I still can't get over it, though. So yeah, that is the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back, obviously, over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure, just talk about latest news.
And we'll obviously definitely be back the week of Zandvoort when we come back.
And we have been asked recently when we're going to do another live stream, so I'm sure we'll discuss that. I'm sure we'll do maybe one or two next part of the season.
Yeah.
But we'll discuss that. But yeah, guys, have a good week. Get in touch. Follow us on all social medias, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Obviously we're not on YouTube anymore because we're all audio based platform, so we're audio based platform. No, we're not. We're an audio based podcast. So
we're on audio based platforms.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So yeah, have a good week. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Let us know what your thoughts are, and we shall see you next week, or actually maybe a week after, for a brand new episode. Bye bye.